Welcome aboard the Highway in the Sky. Please hold on. Please hold on. Thank you.
Hello and welcome to Monorail Blue, a new podcast from Disney Examiner, your weekly source for all things related to Walt Disney parks and resorts. My name is Andy.
I'm Danny.
And I'm Jordan.
And here's what you missed since our last stop.
All right, for this week's stops, well, there are many, first and foremost. And unfortunately, Andy isn't here to lead all of it. So it's me, Jordan, and Danny is on board with me. How you doing, Danny?
Hey, good, good.
Good.
Recovering from the death, a.k.a. the flu that's going around. But
oh, yes.
I'm on the mend.
No, we're going to rush very far away from the flu and hopefully talk about some more enlightening, happy things that are going on in the Disney parks world. And yeah, so a quick rundown of just the stops that we're going to make this week. First and foremost, we're going to be talking about all the Disney parks news, or Disney parks and resorts news that was shared at the D23 Expo Japan 2018. Chairman Bob Chapek was over in Tokyo for the second D23 Expo in Japan to share updates on the products that were already announced at the main D23 Expo in Anaheim last year, but more details were shared in regards to those projects, so we'll get to those. And then secondly, we'll go ahead and make a stop, multiple stops at the Disneyland Resort, talking about the recent, or I should say annual, price increases for tickets and passes that went into effect earlier this week. And then we'll also kind of conclude our trip on this episode by talking about some of the construction projects that are pretty much taking over the Disneyland Resort as we speak. And so, yeah, lots to talk about. So let's get underway and just go through to our first stop, which is the D23 Expo Japan Disney Parks announcements. So, Dan, you heard about those, right? There were numerous things that were shared.
Yeah, they answered a lot of questions that people had about certain projects that they were working on that they kind of teased at the main D23 Expo. And then it really was kind of like more of like the reveal. So like every project that was teased, because I mean, we all know, you know, for who remember looking back at, you know, our episode and just anyone's coverage from the original D23 Expo, there was just so much to cover in the parks and resorts panel. It's like Bob Chapek was just, you know, listing off everything and not too many details on a lot of things. And it seemed like the expo here in Japan, they were able to give us some more details, some more pictures and other, you know, even some dates too.
Right, right. And so speaking of those details, I'm just going to run through quickly of some of the things that he shared. Obviously, one of the most hyped pieces of information have to do with Star Wars, Galaxy's Edge. And so we had a piece of information in regards to the merchandise that will be sold in Batuu. And there are things called Toydarian wares. And there's a picture of these wares that we'll include in the show notes, but they're very cute, small figurines or plushes of Yoda and Porgs and Chewie, Chewbacca, and you know, and even Kylo Ren. And so, yeah, there is going to be cute toys in Star Wars Land. That's all we know. So, still no major news in regards to Galaxy's Edge. Besides the toys, which I think is still pretty cool.
They did talk about the hotel, though.
Yes, I was going to get to that right now. So not here at the Disneyland Resort in our backyard, but at the Walt Disney World Resort in Florida, one of the most highly anticipated, For sure, something a lot of people are anticipating to learn more about. There we go. Is the new Star Wars hotel that will pretty much be like any other, not like any other hotel in the world, where it will pretty will be the home of a multi-day experience that would immerse you in your own Star Wars story. And so the concept art that was shared, the new concept art that was shared of this hotel, kind of very much gives a big picture summary of what that means. And so we'll also include this image in the show notes. But I mean, it literally is, guests dressed in Star Wars apparel with like lots of robes. And they're walking around this what looks like a bridge on a destroyer or a ship of some kind, and outside they're looking at Earth or whatever. They're looking at some type of
Batu.
planet. Oh, that's well, isn't
It
Batuu
says
the city?
Bob. So Bob's Walt Disney Parks and Resorts Bob Chapek revealed that the lavish hotel will be directly connected to Galaxy's Edge, meaning that guests can walk straight from the hotel
Oh,
to the
sure,
themed
yeah.
land and vice versa, creating the illusion of boarding an intergalactic cruiser docked at the planet Batuu.
Right. So they're going to have to take some type of transport to there. But, looking outside the window, there is a planet. We don't know where Batuu is. And so, I think there's going to be some storytelling that we, that unique, or I should say, original storytelling that will take place there. But long story short, it's very detailed. And it does not look like a hotel. It literally looks like it's a movie set out of Star Wars. And so, yeah, that's something to look forward to very much as more details kind of slip out in regards to the hotel. And so there's that. Another piece of information that was shared at the expo was the unveiling, or I guess the only big detail or confirmation, I should say, of what the new Guardians of the Galaxy attraction that would be taking over Ellen's Energy Adventure at Epcot will be. And it was confirmed that yes, it is a roller coaster. And according to the copy in the announcements, they said it was going to be the world's longest enclosed roller coaster. And so, kind of cool. Just thinking about Guardians of the Galaxy and having an indoor roller coaster that's going to dwarf Space Mountain. That's pretty darn cool.
Yeah, and he even used the words that whatever this new roller coaster is, it'll be a brand new ride system that will, in quotes, wow guests. So,
New ride system, man.
well,
Yeah. And those
I'm
Imagineers know
thinking
how
like,
to.
yeah, I'm like my head immediately, just because I have to make some kind of comparison when he says it's some new type of ride system that will wow guests. My head immediately goes to Harry Potter and Escape from Gringotts, because that's a roller coaster, but it's a totally new ride system, and that completely wowed me. So, like right now, as of right now, that's like my favorite attraction.
Yeah, and
So,
it does, it does, it's able to tell a different story because of the movements and just, the ability to, I guess take move just show scenes and add thrill to them. I think it's for sure something to look forward to. So that new Guardians of the Galaxy coaster that's coming to Epcot, which I think is going to be very exciting to know. Moving on a little bit quickly, a little bit more quickly now. There are other announcements that I will again just include in the show notes. I just want to touch on the major ones. The other, I guess, major ones. So kind of shifting gears and going back to Disneyland Resort, which is in our backyard, our beloved Disneyland Resort. We got an opening date for Pixar Pier, which is obviously taking over Paradise Pier at Disney California Adventure Park, and that opening date will be June 23rd. And that is when the new Incredicoaster, formerly California Screamin', will have opened. No details on what that is going to be like yet, that was shared. But they did share an Incredibles float that's going to be part of the Paint the Night parade that's going to be at Disneyland Park. So it's shifting from DCA and going into Disneyland. And they showed a picture of that. And looks very colorful. And of
yeah,
course the Incredibles are there too.
it's actually really big too. If you look at like, I mean, it, from the looks of it, it looks like Dash, Violet, and Jack-Jack will all be like animatronics or like just, you know, still figurines on the float.
Yeah.
And then it looks like Mrs. Incredible, Mr. Incredible, and Frozone, who are already existing, you know, in park characters, will be actual real people.
Right.
And if you look at them as comparison as far as size, the way that they're standing on the float, that's a big float.
Yeah, it does look pretty large. And I
So
think
I'm
it's
it's a like the scale of like the Frozen float as far as like size is concerned, so.
right. And they have to go big because obviously, in addition to these new incredible additions to the Disneyland Resort portfolio of experiences, this is all in conjunction of the opening or the movie opening of Incredibles 2 that's going to be hitting theaters this summer as well. So this is all very much a
I was gonna say,
synergy
there's that word
centric.
again, Jordan,
There,
Bob's
I know it's
favorite
my
word.
favorite word, synergy, man. So not only
Synergy.
will you have the Incredicoaster, you will have Incredibles float, and you'll get the movie as well. Which, obviously, just thinking forward, you know, they're obviously going to try to put the Incredibles 2 preview at one of the theaters, either Sunshine Showcase in Hollywoodland or a Bug's Life theater. And so, yeah, the Disneyland Resort will get super incredible starting April 13th. So I did say that the Pixar Pier will open on June 23rd. But the entire Pixar Fest, which is going to mark, in addition to the Together Forever, I believe is the name of the new fireworks show that's coming to Disneyland Park, as well as Paint the Night, that all begins on April 13th with the
And I believe that
incredible.
also, and doesn't it also the beginning as well of the Pixar Play Parade too?
Yes, you're correct. Yes. Which will be in Disneyland. Wait. Disneyland, yes. Yes, there we go. Paint the Night will be at DCA. There we go.
Which
And that's where
I
the
think I
incident.
feel like. I think you were the one that mentioned that, Jordan, but like you're so I was thinking about that, you know, when I saw this announcement, I was just thinking about it a little bit more. But man, Paint the Night, it just seems like it totally fits in Disney California Adventure Park. Like it seems like that's a marrying
Oh
that should have
yeah.
happened since the beginning, because it's like you know, just going down those extra wide pathways plus like being on with having Paradise Pier in the background, like what a great backdrop for that parade. Like I'm totally gonna watch the parade closer to Paradise Pier rather than like Buena Vista Street for sure.
Yeah. No, it for sure it was a more contemporary parade, but you know, I did enjoy its, you know, harking back to the electrical parade that was such a big hit for Disneyland Park all those years ago. But yeah, change is good for sure. And I think that's just basically it. Again, there were a few other announcements that were shared at the expo, but I think just hitting on Walt Disney World and the Disneyland Resort announcements, I think are going to just about do it for us at this stop. But yes, long story short, there's a lot happening at every Disney park around the world. So be sure to check out that announcement when we post it in the show notes. Okay, cool. Moving on now to our next stop, which is Disneyland Resort, our little backyard here. We have to talk about, which I think is obviously the biggest, I guess, the loudest, I should say, thing to have come out of the resort in recent, and that is obvious. That is, if you were to search social media, that would have been the recent price hikes that have come to the annual passes, as well as the one-day tickets and multi-day tickets that are being sold at the parks. But for sure, as expected, and we did tweet about this early because we found out when they were going to do this. As expected, we got a lot of reaction, both positive and negative. And then the entire internet actually decided to respond, it seems like, to the price increases. And so, I really want to take this moment to just hear your thoughts, Danny, and then kind of give my thoughts on those observations. I mean, this is an annual thing. They've been, you know, Disneyland Resort has been raising their prices consistently, year after year, always increasing. But this was a different year, right? You mentioned to me before the call that a lot of people did not also see or seem to have ignored entirely that some prices for ticket media did decrease or remain the same.
Overall, I think that, and this happens every year, it's always a big news headline. It's like a guaranteed news headline for, I'm sure Disney PR and like Susie Brown, I'm sure they're all very familiar with the fact that it's going to make every storyline. They're going to talk about it in a not so positive way. But yeah, they talk about the increases. They talk about the, how it's $7 for this and whatnot. But what wasn't talked about was the one day value ticket for the value days. The price did not go up. It stayed exactly the same as what it was before, which is in a year to year, in a year to year pricing, structure at Disneyland, that's unheard of for a ticket to not go up one calendar year at least. And for so it is remaining the same. And then a one day park hopper ticket on a value day actually goes down in price by $2 or $4. I'm not sure. I think it was $2. So they're lowering their prices. And this is the second time they've lowered prices because when they started their actual demand pricing for the value, regular, and peak days, they actually lowered the price of the value ticket to $2 less than what Disneyland just originally was when it was the same price every day. So this isn't the first time they've lowered the tickets. It's the second time they've lowered ticket prices. But yeah, it's really just kind of showing you that they're really trying to test the waters and see how they can, change the pricing to really manipulate the crowds, which is the whole purpose of this ticket structure, is to really get the crowds to kind of even out and come spread in a more just evenly distributed kind of bell curve, I guess you could say, throughout the year, rather than everyone coming the week of Christmas and then like, the month of January, like basically being dead and like no one being there. It really helps them overall, help the guests save money if they come on a value day, but then also saving them money because they can better, distribute labor and plan for things like that if they have more people coming on a day that would have been a dead day, but they're coming on that day because the ticket prices are cheaper. So I can see what they're doing. And even, I always play devil's advocate here. I don't really understand why guests get upset when the prices go up. I mean, they go up every year. We know they go up every year. It went up $7, I think, for the most expensive ticket. That's just $7 per ticket. I know for a family of, four, that can be like $28 total. So what is that like a lunch somewhere? It doesn't really seem like all that much money. And truly, no one really has a right to be upset. Disneyland is a business, and what they're offering is still very much worth the money. And Disneyland's no one's right. It's a luxury, and it's something that you can do. And if you can't afford to do it, then not everyone can afford to go to a NBA game or an NFL game either. So,
Well,
it's
it's
not,
interesting to use the
I don't
word
know.
luxury. I think, while the value, while the or the one day tickets and the multi day tickets seem to have not fluctuated pricing, I think where a lot of the feedback that has come from people on the negative side have been from those who were annual pass holders, because that's where you see the largest price increases. And just to riff off just a few of them for Signature Plus, the top tier pass, which was the 2017 price was $1,049. We had a $100 increase to $1,149, which is the 2018 price. The Signature Annual Passport, which saw the most significant increase in its price, went from $849 to $999, just shy of $1,000. And Deluxe, it went from $619 to $729. Again, a little bit over a $100 increase there. And then the SoCal annual pass for renewals only went up $90. And the Select Pass SoCal Select Pass went from 339 to 369. And so and then full disclosure, I'm an annual pass holder myself, and no, Disney does not pay for my pass at all. It all does still come out of my pocket. This is it is I mean it is concerning, just for people who do, people like myself who do end up going to the resort quite often, because yeah, I don't think the Disneyland's pricing out people, to your point, especially those who are visiting for just a few days. But for the locals who look at look to go and do have annual passes, we're getting to a price point where it's almost unaffordable. I think a lot of the feedback that people have said that, yeah, they were not for sure going to renew this time because the passes that they have, a lot of them are signature annual pass holders and higher. It even with monthly payments, $1,000 for Disneyland passes is not cheap. And so yeah, it is a luxury for people. But I think a lot of, again, the backlash is coming to people who have been loyal to the resort for many a year. For sure, look to Disneyland for their main source of entertainment. And who are just looking to see when this would end as well. I think yes, it has to do with crowds quite a bit. You could see in just in the pricing that those that have more access to dates, which again, Signature Plus and Signature the Signature Pass have more dates than the SoCal Deluxe and Select passes. They're have the most price increases. It seems like Disney wants to very much try to curtail that and manage the crowds there. It's still yeah, I would still use the word concerning about all this because yeah, pass holders are still loyal people. And I think even when it comes to the increases of prices, this is I don't want to say it was a recent thing, but I remember just passes were steady, at 1 year that they were they did not reach to this point. But of course, with the popularity of Disneyland over the years, and of course with the upcoming Star Wars Land and all the brand and franchises that are entering the parks, it's only going to just get more worse with crowds. And so, yeah, I think it's concerning, but at the same time, I could see, like you said, it's a business decision, and they're wanting to make sure that they serve all their guests well, not just the annual pass holders. And so, yeah, I think another big thing that they missed, and I'll close with this, is that they also announced somewhat quietly two other things with these increases. One, early renewal discounts that usually were given to annual pass holders before, if they were to renew before their expiration date, are no longer available. So that's that would actually stabbed a lot of annual pass holders quite right in the heart. Those discounts were favorable, especially if you got more the more expensive passes. I think they were to the tune of $60 or $70 discount, so that's no longer available to renewals. And then secondly, which I think is going to be, which is I think probably the most interesting out of the quieter announcements, was that they are going to be changing the whole structure of the annual pass program very soon, in preparation for Star Wars Land, according to that announcement. So we don't know exactly what that means yet, but Susie Brown in her press announcement did mention that an entire overhaul of the annual pass holder program will be changed in preparation for Star Wars Galaxy's Edge opening in 2019. And so hopefully that includes, more of diversified prices for people, especially the pass holders, and maybe just a different type of process to manage the crowds as well. So looking forward to seeing what that might look like in 2019.
The only thing I was going to say too, just regarding the annual pass, because I didn't talk about the annual passes, but
Sure.
just to play devil's advocate and hearing the other side here. So if you break down an annual pass, typically most guests will use their annual pass at least once a month. That's the typical usage for guests that have an annual pass. So that's considering 12 visits then for the whole year, if you're using it for an entire year. Your annual pass is typically paid back with after 9 visits. So if you're a deluxe pass, it's about $60.75 per visit, $83.25 per visit for a signature pass, and $95.75 for signature plus. So truly, if you're planning on going more than 9 times, you're going to pay back the pass for sure, and you're going to get more of a value than you would if you did the math for a multi-day ticket. And Disney doesn't offer multi-day tickets that go beyond 5 days anyway, unless you're you know, a guest traveling from out of the country. So it is still, you know, when they say it's still a value, it's still as math is concerned, it's still a value when you break it down in that way. But I understand what you're saying. It's a large investment for a lot of people, especially if you have multiple family members, you're trying to purchase them all for. But just math wise and, you know, the way that ticket pricing currently is, it's still a value. And so whether or not that value for your family is considered a luxury item or something that you need as far as what you, you know, just weekly entertainment or monthly entertainment for your family, you know, that's something that everyone has to weigh. But they're certainly still within the category of being a good value for the pricing of the passes.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good thing to point out. So yeah, if you do end up going to Disneyland more than 5 times in the year, consider getting at least the cheapest annual pass.
Exactly. At least the deluxe. You can start with at least going up as high as at least the deluxe, and then you're for sure going to save money.
There you go. All right. So moving on to our last stop of this episode, that's talking about more Disneyland news. But to all who come to that happy place or this happy place in recent days, a lot of people are saying welcome. And that's because there are a ton of walls.
I see what you did there.
I know. I tried to do it very subtly, but thanks for catching it. But yeah, there are many walls. There are many walls around the resort right now, doing a variety of different purposes. They're hiding different purposes. Obviously, they're construction related. But none more noticeable than the one that currently is taking up, I would say, 90% of Main Street USA. For those who were, tuning into the Disney Parks blog and a few weeks ago, they did announce that they would be repaving and replacing the track that takes, where that is the streetcar tracks that the horse-drawn carriages, I should say. Ride on, and so they're completely replacing those, as well as laying down brick to make it look something a little bit more like a DCA in its aesthetic. But also, it had a purpose, according to the announcement, saying that it would be softer on the hooves of the horses themselves. So, that's for those who did not know what was going on there. Now you know. But some of the other major things that are happening there are at the resort right now too, is the Dumbo. Dumbo is currently getting a new queue in Fantasyland, and as well as kind of replacing or kind of changing up the look of the whole attraction as well. Same structure and everything, but I know that surrounding area will be changed quite heavily, and so there's a lot of walls there. And then I think just looking forward to the rest of the year, there are a lot of walls that will be coming to Downtown Disney as well. Danny, and you have to help me recall this. And I think they mentioned that they were trying to shut everything down, like Earl of Sandwich and the theaters, around January of 2018. Is that correct? Or was that 2019?
From all early reports, it sounded like everything was really going to be shut down closer to January and February, which didn't happen. And I don't know if timelines have changed now, because I actually went just recently to, you know, thinking that that was going to be the case. I went recently to ESPN Zone to kind of, you know, dine there one last time and visit, and, you know, as a guest and experience it one more time before it went away, because I didn't know when I'd have an opportunity to do it.
Right.
And I was, you know, had a chance to talk to one of the managers there who came by to ask about our, you know, our meal and everything, asked them about, you know, how, if they knew when the restaurant was closing, and he mentioned that they knew they were still in business through June.
Oh, wow. Okay. Good to know.
Yeah. So I don't know if that means that the timelines have changed, but that was what he told me when we were dining there. He said that they knew that at least through June. So I don't know if that maybe has already changed again. Maybe that was just what he told me at the time, but
Sure.
that made me think, you know, maybe they're trying to, you know, keep the at least the restaurants and things there through kind of the beginning of the Pixar Fest and the spring breaks. But it seemed weird that they would close that and begin deconstruction during the summer season. So I'm not really quite
Yeah.
sure.
Yeah, no, I'm just looking at some of the other reactions, not the reactions, the other stories when we did announce it, and it sounded like hotel. Yeah, it did say that things would start to close in early 2019 or to early 2018, but they didn't give a specific thing there. They said hotel construction would then start in 2018, did not mention a time when. But yeah, that's good to know that 20 or at least through June that they will still be there. But yeah, it's also kind of strange to think that, you know, during the most busy season for the resort that they would start a major construction project like that. And that all, I guess another major construction project as well that we should mention is the second parking structure that are going to be building right next to the Mickey and Friends parking structure, which already is, I think the site is being prepped for that already. And so, yes. Long story short, there are many, many walls that will be going up, not down, at the Disneyland Resort for the foreseeable future. But we will be sure to I just keep an eye on the walls, I suppose, until they come down. And hopefully, I mean, it doesn't seem to have, you know, really ticked off any guests that I've seen when I've been walking through the parks as of recently. I know the people who, you know, are met with the walls on Main Street USA are actually pretty bummed that they can't get their awesome Main Street and Sleeping Beauty Castle pictures. But you can't have everything. Maybe that's the theme of our episode today. You can't have everything. You can't have all the D23 Expo Japan announcements in our podcast. You can't have any or you cannot have everything. You can't just have you can't just be a pass holder and, you know, or one or a ticket holder, regular ticket holder, and not feel sad that you're paying for something that is a luxury. You just can't seem to have everything when it comes down to getting pictures, your perfect pictures at Disneyland. I don't know what I just said there. I just kind of wanted to wrap things up. But does that make a lot of sense? There's a lot. You just can't have everything, folks. That's the moral
You
of
can't.
the trip, around this episode of the Monorail Blue podcast. So, with that, yeah, thanks so much for listening.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Monorail Blue. If you like this episode, please subscribe to us on iTunes and leave your feedback. Give us a 5-star review. It helps other people find the podcast. In addition, if you want to send more detailed feedback, please send us an email at monorailblue@disneyexaminer.com. Also, please give us a visit at our social media pages at Monorail Blue on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And also, please follow at Disney Examiner for all the latest Disney news. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful week.
We are circling the Disney-created Seven Seas Lagoon. Rising from the Magic Kingdom, on the opposite shore is Cinderella Castle. You can also see Disney's Mountain Range, Big Thunder Mountain and Splash Mountain in Frontierland, and Space Mountain in Tomorrowland. To the right-hand side...